Hello everyone, this is Richard with Richard Runs Trails. Greetings from a cold and windy Georgetown, Texas. Have an exciting episode today. It's a replay of a live stream I did this morning. I go over the Tejas Trails and Trail Racing Over Texas 2022 schedules. I go month by month. I did this last year and a lot of people liked it, so hope you enjoy. So stay tuned after the break for my live stream from this morning. If you'd like to see some of the presentations I did during the live streams, please go to my YouTube channel. It's Richard Runs Trails. It's under the first playlist, live streams and interviews. If you'd like to join one of my live streams one time, or regular, you can be a regular as well. If you'd like to join a live stream and tell me about, you know, running in your area, or we can chat about trail running in general, send me an email at runnerrwe@gmail.com, and I'd like to hook up with you, and we could talk on the live stream. Anyways, have a great weekend wherever you're listening from, and enjoy your run. Take care.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard with Richard Runs Trails. Happy holidays. This is the first time I'm not wearing a running hat. Actually, I've seen some people run in a Santa hat, but not really for me. But the occasion, I think, warrants let's talking the holidays a little bit. Today, I have a special show. We're going to talk about the trail racing calendar in Texas. We also can talk about races in other areas. I know them very well. So if you join the chat and you want to talk about races in another area, we can do that as well. We can talk about anything trail running. But last year I did this in December last year, where I went over Tejas Trails and also Trail Racing Over Texas calendars month by month, because they're competitors. So if you don't combine them and talk about them, then you have to switch back and forth. And some people, like, you know, Trail Racing Over Texas is pretty Houston centric. So the people from Houston like to do mostly Trail Racing Over Texas races, which makes sense. A lot of them are closer to Houston. And then Tejas Trails is based in Austin. And he has a lot of events, you know, within a couple hours of Austin, some even a little closer. And anyways, let's get into it. This week, just kind of an update. I haven't been running very much. Well, I did some biking. I was sick, as you know, getting over a cold. Didn't have COVID. I didn't test myself, but I mean, I have 3 shots and I have the flu shot, you know, and I know I have a cold. And everyone in my family's been sick. They're all vaccinated too. I mean, it makes you wonder how well the flu shot is really working this year. Anyways, my wife was sick this week, so I had to spend, I take my kids to classes, but I had to take them to all the classes. We couldn't split it up because she was sick. So didn't get as much training in this week so far. I mean, I'm going to go for a bike ride and a run today, and then maybe a long ride tomorrow. But been a busy week. My son passed his orange belt test in karate, so that's really nice. I was a little nervous about it. I was worried if he didn't pass, he might quit, because he's only been doing it a couple months. But he's having some success and getting very confident, and his graduation is tonight. That's one thing I wish I would have done when I was younger. I mean, of course, I knew about karate, but I didn't realize it's such a fraternity, formal process as it is. And I didn't really learn about it until my son was involved. I mean, in college, I was in MMA classes, Robert Bussey MMA classes for a while, excuse me, with my friend, but they didn't have belts. And I mean, I enjoyed it, but I wish I would have got involved in Taekwondo when I was a kid, but no one really introduced me to it. But I highly recommend it. I mean, of course it teaches discipline and all that, but it's kind of a formal process. I mean, if you've been part of a fraternity or sorority in college, you know what I'm talking about. Cause I missed that, you know. I was in Sigma Chi in college, and I was very involved. And, I mean, I was president as we call console, and very involved, you know, running it like a business and insurance. You know, you learn a lot, and there's a lot of course, old traditions, you know, going back a couple hundred years. In karate, it's the same way. I mean, they have, there's a reason they bow and, you know, do different things, but highly recommend it. But let's talk about trail racing. I want to go over the Tejas trails and also trail racing over Texas schedules and kind of keep them by month by month. And if you have any questions, let me know in the chat. So let's get started. So if we talk about January, let me screen layout. I learned some new things yesterday. So what we're going to do, is we're going to add, actually we're going to share, did some training yesterday. You're going to see some new cool things in StreamYard today. I wasn't using, you know, you always wonder how Kofuza shares chats and all that. I know how to do all that stuff now. I don't know, I'm hesitant to see. We want to share screen. And we're going to do Bandera. So we're in January. And you can see here Hoka Bandera Endurance Trail Run. So in January, the big races in Texas, Bandera 100K. Yeah, it's one that I do every year. They also have, 100K, 50K, 25K. And it's at Hill Country State Park. Where is that? That's in Bandera. That's about an hour north of San Antonio. And it's also a golden ticket race for Western states. So if you're interested to get a qualifier, now, you need to run under 17 hours. So if you're a middle packer or back of the packer like myself, it's a challenging to get under 17 hours because there's elevation in the race, and not so much elevation. For Texas that we call it, they're kind of mountains, but I think people from California, Colorado, and other places would call them hills. But a great race, but 17 hours is challenging. It has been for me. Show the course map a little bit. Hope you can see that on the screen. If you're watching this on your mobile phone, or also if you're joining if you're listening to my live streams on my podcast, you won't be able to see some of the presentations today, but you're more than welcome to later check out the video of the live stream on my YouTube channel, which is Richard Runs Trails, my podcast. And if you watch my YouTube channel, welcome to listen to my live streams via podcast when you run or driving to work. My podcast is also Richard Runs Trails, and it's on all the major platforms. Apple Podcast, Breaker. There's like 10 different platforms that it's pushed to via Anchor. And you can also listen to it on Anchor or Spotify. Because my drinking coffee today, it is 9:40 in the morning, but I get up pretty early. But I use Anchor for putting my podcast together, and Anchor is owned by Spotify, so it's immediately on Spotify, and usually within a few hours, it's on the other platforms. But I usually upload the live stream to my podcast the same day or the next day. So welcome to join. You can see the elevation chart here on the right. So there are some big hills. This is the map here. There are a couple of loops, but it's all within Hill Country State Park. There's some plants out there that I forget the name, but will cut you up. So my suggestion is, it's kind of like a long fern, but it's got like sawtooth on it. And my suggestion is always to wear shorts that like exoskin or tights that, you know, cover most of your calf. And for the ladies, I think most of the ladies, that's the way they usually, that's what they usually wear out there. But for us guys, sometimes you wear running shorts. You're going to get cut up some if you're wearing running shorts, especially if you're in the lead packs. So I highly recommend it. Aid stations. They have quite a few aid stations, and most of them are about 5 miles apart. It's really well done. And at night they have food and quesadillas, mashed potatoes, ramen, stuff like that. I've done the race 5 times. Highly recommend it. So now what we're going to go to, so that's Bandera 100K. If you don't register by December, it's kind of hard to get into. But we are going to go to Running the Rose, which is the big one by Trail Racing Over Texas in January. So here's Running the Rose. You see that? Running the Rose is in Tyler, Texas. So if you know where Dallas-Fort Worth is, it's about a little more than an hour east of Dallas-Fort Worth, east of Dallas, I should say. And out there they have 108K, 54K, 22K, 11 miles, 7K. But you're going to do several loops out there. They have a video on their website. I'm not going to try to play the video. I mean, I could, but I think I would run into some licensing issues. I don't think I'm allowed to play their videos in my video, but they do some of their races. They have videos on there, but you're going to see pine trees. I haven't raced this race, but I've heard good things about it. So there's a lot of tree coverage out there, but however, it's in January, so it's going to be kind of cold. So if you're going to do the 108K race, 6 loops. So only thing I've heard negative about this race is the parking the parking can be very difficult. So the next race we're going to go to is, Jackalope. We're going to go to Jackalope Jam. Jackalope Jam is also Trail Racing Over Texas. It takes place in February. And I've done that race. I've actually won the 48-hour ruck race. Let me share that first, and then I'll tell you a little bit about that. So you're seeing there, though, Jackalope. It's a big rabbit with horns. Quite a few races. This one's kind of an interesting one because it's about I'll double check in a second. I think it's the loop is 1.5 miles. I thought it was longer than that. So it's 0.75 out and back. And they have a video you can check out too. It's not an exciting loop, but the neat thing about this loop is you're constantly seeing people you're running with. So you meet a lot of people. Out there, they have a 6-hour, 12-hour, 24-hour, 48-hour, 72-hour, and 100-hour solo and ruck. So you can run it or you can ruck it. Ruck it is when you have a weighted backpack, kind of military style. Ruck comes from the word rucksack. Nice race. Just one main aid station at the start and finish. They do a good job. The next race we're going to go over in February is Rocky Raccoon. That's by Tejas Trails. So let me share that one. So Rocky Raccoon, so where is it? It's in Huntsville, Texas. If you're from Texas area, you know where that is because that's where most of the people are in Texas. Famous for prisons, has probably 10 in that town. But it's about 30 minutes north of Houston, but a very nice state park. Yeah, it's called Huntsville State Park. And so they have 100 mile and 100K. I've actually done that race twice. And the first time I didn't finish. If you listen to a lot of podcasts, people say, well, that's a fairly easy race to finish 100. Well, I can tell you from experience, no 100 miler is easy. And 100 miles is 100 miles. I mean, some have more elevation, some are more technical, but all 100 milers are difficult. And this one still has about 45% DNF rate. Sometimes even higher, depending on the weather. My first time, I made it 100K, and I just didn't feel good. That's just when I first started doing 100-milers. The second time was this year, actually, and I finished. But it's a tough race. You're looking at five loops, and these kind of races can be challenging because you're passing you're passing the main aid station, which is your car, where your car is located, five times. So if you start really feeling bad, it's easy to think about quitting when you're passing your car five times in a race. But great race. This is also a golden ticket race. It's one of the flagship races for Tejas Trails, and many pros come into town for this race. So Ian Sharman's won it many times. Who else? I'm forgetting some of them, but Ian Sharman set the record out here a couple times. But you'll see some pros come out to this race, but it's called a golden ticket race, and really they do a good job. Now we're going to go into March. So in March, in Trail Racing Over Texas has a Sasquatch Shuffle. I think this is the last year of that race. I thought last year was the first year of that race. Let me share that. So here we go. We Sasquatch Shuffle. So it's mainly 100K. And this one takes place at Mission Tejas State Park. That is about an hour and a half north of Houston. And let's see, you have midnight cutoff. So, you know, you only have 18 hours to finish the 100K. No, actually the cutoff is 20 hours. So it's pretty doable for even back of the pack runners. But I've heard that's a really nice one. It started last year. I haven't done it yet. Let's take a look at the map. So it's in Mission Tejas Park. You have to do several loops. So highly recommend that one. The next one we're going to talk about is going to be Brazos Bend 50. There are two Brazos Bend races put on by Trail Racing Over Texas. I'll show that. Let me share that screen. One second. Okay. It's called the Brazos Bend 50 because it's it's kind of advertised as a 50-mile race, but it also has 100K. So this Brazos Bend 50 takes place at Needville. It's at Brazos Bend State Park, which is very close to the Gulf of Mexico. It's kind of let me share that a little bit better. It's about 1 hour kind of southwest of Houston, and I've done the 100 mile out there. It's the same course. They have a nice video on there. It's famous because it has a lot of alligators out there, but I'll tell you, they don't bother you. I mean, they stay in the water. They might get out on the bank, but they just kind of lounge in the sun and kind of go into a kind of hypnotic state. But 100K, 50 miler, highly recommend that race. They also have they have the 50 mile and the 100K, but they also have some shorter distances, 25K, 10K, 5K. They do a good job. Brazos Bend is one of trail racing over Texas, or what we call trot, so flagship races. So they have the 50 miler in March, and then they have the 100 miler in December. Okay. The next race we're going to talk about is J&J Trail Racing, J&J Race, and Trail Racing Reunion. Let me share that. Also, if you join the chat, let me know what races you are doing in 2022. We can talk about it. Anyways, let's talk about J&J Trail Racing. So J&J Race, I've done this a couple times, and excuse me. It's weird about cough, You won't cough all day, but then you do something that you don't want to cough, and you start coughing, Yeah, I think my cough has gone away. It's just my throat is a little bit itchy and dry. Every time I get a cough, I don't get one very often, but when I do, it like seems like to linger for a couple of weeks, which is kind of frustrating. But J&J Trail Race is at Camp Eagle. It's famous because it's a famous place in Texas. It's near Kerrville in Texas, so it's about 2 hours northwest of San Antonio. So if you're coming from out of state, you want to fly into San Antonio. And they do have some lodging out there, but not too much. But it's famous camp for like Boy Scouts and retreats and stuff. But they've got a lot of trails out there, and they're pretty cool. So once you get to Kerrville, you go about 30 minutes. So you take I-10 to Kerrville, and you do about 30 minutes west, and you're at Camp Eagle. But I've done the J&J Trail Race a couple times. Really done well by Chris at Tejas Trails, and the previous owners ran the race for a while. And so this race has a special meaning in their hearts. That this is a favorite race of theirs. It's not their flagship race, but it's a big race, and highly recommend it. They started last year having 100 mile and 150 mile. It looks like next year it's just going to be 100 mile. Trust me, the elevation and then all the technical, it's just a constant. It's like Bandera. It's a very rocky technical race. So if you're going to do 100 mile, you're really going to get your money's worth of rocks. And we say in Texas, it's like a rock garden. So, what else about it? Bandera was held out there 1 year because Bandera had heavy rain and there was no place to park. Very nice venue. The people that run Camp Eagle really welcome the Tejas Trails and their runners. They also have Spartan races out there, and they also have mountain bike races out there. It's a really cool place. It's about a 2.5 hour drive for me, so I like it a lot. So that's March. Let's go into April now. So we're gonna go Tejas Trails. I'm not going over all the races that these two race directors have, but I'm going over the key ones, the ones that I know something about. So we're gonna talk about Hell's Hills. Hell's Hills it takes place. Let me share the screen first. It takes place on a mountain bike course, and I did it last year for the first time. And let's see, Hell's Hills, they have a 50-mile, 50K, 25K, and 10K. I did the 50K last year, and it's held in Smithville, Texas, which is probably about an hour east of Austin, going towards Houston. It's on Rocky Hill Ranch. Rocky Hill Ranch is one of those pay-to-mountain bike courses, pretty famous in the Texas area. And it's a very challenging course. I did the 50K, and I'm so glad I didn't select the 50 miler, because I would have maybe had a challenging time trying to meet the cutoff. It's the whole course is rolling hills, because you know mountain bike courses, you know what they like to do. Mountain bike courses, what they like to do is they like to make it where the mountain bikers, they can kind of cruise, and they're doing the rollers. You know, we call them rollers. You know, it's enough hill to go up with very little pedaling, but then you can cruise down the next side. But when you're running or jogging, it really throws off your rhythm, because, you know, and there's a lot of leaves on the trail too. When they do the race, it's in April. So, I mean, I fell a couple times pretty hard. I fell one time I always land on my bottles, because I use bottles when I run during the day. And one time I landed so hard, it blew the cap off like a bomb. But at least the bottle took the impact from the fall. But they have some what they call class 3 and class 4 mountain bike hills out there. So they have like where they built wood structures and stuff, and really steep stuff. And we got a little bit of rain when I was out there, just enough to make it slippery. So in some cases you had to kind of go around the hill to try to get up it. But it was really challenging because of the rollers. But what a beautiful course. I mean, they do a really good job, because it's a pay to mountain bike course. And 50K was only two loops, so you're not doing a small loop over and over. So they have quite a few trails out there, and they do a really good job. I mean, the maintenance on the trail was perfect. I mean, they really take care of it. I mean, there really was no loose rocks or anything to cause problems for mountain bikers or even runners. I mean, they had roots and stuff like that you had to be careful with, and that's what took me out a couple times. But they really do a good job out there. They have a couple aid stations, and I remember one aid station was hilarious. They had whiskey out there. I didn't drink any. I mean, that's the last thing I need to drink in a trail race. But I saw one guy slam a shot of whiskey. I haven't seen whiskey at a trail race since Javelina 100 in Arizona. But really good race. Highly recommended. It's in April, but I would be leery of signing up for the 50 mile if you're not a really fast runner, because the 50K is really tough. And their cutoffs are not very liberal. So let's jump back over to trail racing over Texas. And we're going to talk about the Coyote Run. This is one I haven't done, but I've heard it's pretty good. Let me share the screen. So we got Coyote Run. So this is up in Claiborne State Park. This is about an hour south of Dallas. And I heard it's a pretty nice run. So they have a 50 mile, 50K, 25K, and some shorter races. They have a video on their website you can check out. I actually registered for this last year, but it was canceled due to COVID. So I never had a chance to run it. So 50 miles, you need to run six loops of 8 miles. I don't particularly like that too much. I don't like really small loops. I really like when I race to have maybe two loops or three loops. Whenever you get to five and six loops, unless it's like a 100 miler, it gets kind of boring. And plus, I think it's easy for people to quit. But nice, I heard it's a nice race put on by trail racing over Texas. The next race we're going to talk about is Possum's Revenge, and this is one that I know a lot about. This is a race that's going to be moved to a new race director. As many of you know or heard, especially if you live in the Texas area, Trail Racing Over Texas, let me share the screen. Trail Racing Over Texas has given up some of their races, especially in the north of Texas. So you can see the logo now. This race, they have a 52-miler, 56K, 17 and 8 mile. So they've shortened the distance. When I did it, there was a 69-miler. And actually, they still have it. Well, I don't know. The logo says it. But anyways, I did the 69-miler, and that's a heck of a race. When I did it one year, it was in the high 90s in May, and it was a lot of people got taken out because of chafing. I finished, but I had some friends out there that, you know, run 3-hour marathons, and I passed them. It just really beat you up, and you do several loops out there, but it's a really nice trail. It goes around the Possum Kingdom Lake, which is so Grayford is about, like I said, it's about an hour east of Fort Worth, so east of the Fort Worth, Dallas, Fort Worth area. But you can camp out there and everything. It's a really good race. I actually have some video footage on my YouTube channel from when I last year when I paced my brother running this race. So you can check it out. Gives you an idea what the trails are like. It's in my vlog section. Just look for Possum's Revenge. So the next race we're going to talk about, we're going to go to Tejas Trails, and we're going to jump into May Spider Mountain. Let me share. Still nobody in the chat. I guess everybody's still sleeping. It's about 10 a.m. Central Time. Wake up, folks. Let's talk trail running. What I'll do is while we're waiting, I'm gonna send a link to my brother, the Ultra Trucker, see if he wants to join. So just wait 1 second here. I'm gonna send a link to the Ultra Trucker. But if you do join the chat, please let me know where you're located, and also tell me about your race schedule for next year, so we can talk about it. Okay, so that's done. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to share the screen and talk about Spider Mountain. That's a race that I did last year. Or I say keep saying last year, this year. It's December still. I was talking about mountain bike parks earlier. This is the mountain bike park of all mountain bike parks in Texas. Really cool place. What's interesting is there's no spiders out there, but they call it Spider Mountain. This is only about 45 minutes from my house, so it's very close, very convenient. This is a place that is it's a mountain bike park. There's some video on my YouTube channel under vlogs. Just check out Spider Mountain. But very steep hills. And the race starts at night. I think we started at, it says right here, 7 p.m. The reason is because the mountain bikers are using it during the day, and that's their main customers. But the hills are so steep that they actually have a ski lift on this mountain. And, they never ski there, and we hardly ever get snow in Texas. But you know you have a serious hills for a trail race or mountain biking when they have a ski lift. but they have a ski lift to take the mountain bikers to the top of the hill. So when we were racing, we did a lot of the uphills, but we didn't do the downhills. So the downhills were always the Jeep roads coming down. And the reason is it's so steep that people would get hurt doing the downhills by running. But it was kind of cool. A lot of the turns had berms, just, you know, for the mountain bikers, and you could kind of run the berms and the turns. I thought it was kind of cool. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but it's a lot of fun. If you don't know what a berm is, in motocross and BMX and mountain biking, they'll build up dirt around the turn so that you can actually lean into it and do the turn faster. So your bike is kind of, or motorcycle is kind of almost horizontal going through the turn. So you can really fly through the turn. But these berms are so big that you can actually run on them too and kind of take the turn faster than you would, you know, turning normally. But very cool place. Let's see if it has any pictures on. You can see there what they call the Texas Eagle, which is the red and white dotted line. The red and white dotted line, that's the ski the lake off to the side there. It's a night race. I wouldn't say I DNF'd, but I quit after four laps. I just had enough. So I really didn't DNF, but I didn't go all the way to 7 a.m. And that was the second race I've ever done this, only at night. I did one in Dallas, Fort Worth, also put on by Running for Bibles. It's a 9-hour race at night. But those are very interesting because you basically run the course. And well, in Spider Mountain case, I saw part of the course in the daylight, but not all of it. But one other race that I did, I ran it completely in the dark and it was over before the sun came up. So those are always very interesting, but good fun. But highly recommend Spider Mountain. It's a beautiful course. They keep it up really nice. I mean, they charge the mountain bikers like $300 a year to ride their bikes out there. So they're investing a lot of money into the course. They have a lot of people working out there to support the course. So it's pretty cool. That's Spider Mountain. What we're going to talk about next, let's go to June. We have the Captain Carl's. We'll stay on trails for a minute because in the summertime trail racing over Texas doesn't have any events, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Well, I'll tell you now. Basically, Rob Gorin, the owner, he likes to go on vacation, and he doesn't plan any events in the summer until August, and we'll go over that in a minute. So let me share the screen. Like I said earlier, if you're listening to this on my podcast, I apologize. You can't really see the screens, but you know, you're listening to us chat. But if you'd like to see the video, just check out my YouTube channel, Richard Runs Trails. It's in the live stream interview section, which is now my top section. I've changed my playlist around. Usually, the top one used to be my vlogs, but now I put my live streams on there, top one, because I think, to be honest, I think I'm going to be doing more live streams. And live streams are really cool because if you're a YouTuber, you know what I'm talking about, but I'll explain why. Let me make sure that I'm sharing this correctly. Yeah, it's right there. But anyways, when you do live streams, like I use StreamYard, or the YouTube, the video automatically in YouTube. Now, if I load it and it's just a lot more work. But live streaming is really cool because people can interact, they can talk. You know, I started using banners. You can see my banner on here. What I can put up questions or points that I'm trying to go over. Like right now I'm asking, what races are you doing in 2022? It's really cool and it saves automatically. But anyways, that's why I'm planning to do more live streams going forward. But Captain Carl's is a series of runs. And I think it's four or five races. They're all the same. I've done several of them, but I've never done all of them. And the reason I have never done all of them is because I usually do one Trail Racing Over Texas race in August. But the Captain Carl's races, they start at 7 p.m. It's during the summertime when it's very hot. And usually the first 10K you're running in high heat, but then it gets dark. And they have a 60K option, 30K option, 20K option, 10K, 5K. That's the same for all four races during the summer. And they're at different locations. All the locations are within probably an hour and a half of hour to hour and a half of Austin. Highly recommend them. They're kind of cool. And you can see here off to the left, the medal. The medals are really cool. And if you get, as you get them, they all clip together. And I believe if you finish all of the races, all the Captain Carl's races, you get a special medal. So it's pretty cool. And anyways, it's nice because there's not much going on in the summer unless you want to travel far from Texas, you know, go up north or go to California. But in Texas, we have several races during the summer. And this is the there's four or five of the Captain Carl's ones. And you can also buy them as a block and you can get them cheaper. So that's the Captain Carl's. So what we're going to talk about next, we're going to go to Trail Racing Over Texas. So let me correct myself. So Captain Carl's, there's one, two, three, four races. Okay. All right. That'll take you through the summer. So next, what we're going to talk about, Habanero 100. This is one of the flagship races for Trail Racing Over Texas. And this is when Rob really gets going again. He took a vacation for a few months. His company shuts down. And then he starts off with a screamer for a race. It's on fire, as my son would say, because it literally is on fire. But if you want to wonder why they're calling it Habanero, I'll tell you in a second. Habanero is probably one of the hottest peppers. Correct me if I'm wrong. But anyways, it is Texas' hottest race. And that's the race starts at high noon, and he does that on purpose. It's the hottest part of the day. So if you're going to run the 100 miler, you're going to start on high noon, 12 o'clock on Saturday, having the heat 2 days. Okay, Lou. So this ranch in the middle of nowhere, which is Seven Isle Ranch, really nice ranch. It's about an hour northwest of Houston, or about 2.5 hours southeast of Austin. So this ranch out in the middle of nowhere, I've run at least 300 miles on this ranch because of Jackalope Jam. I did 100 miles in that event, and then I've done three Habanero events. And then I've also done the Jalapeno 100, which is on the same course. So I know the course well. It's a 10K loop. A lot of it's flat, but this is a ranch that really caters to horses. So they have, facilities out there to keep people's horses. So even when I've run out there, I've seen people on a horseback. Horses like sand. So a lot of the areas in the courses, they have put sand in to be comfortable for the horses. Well, it's comfortable for the horses, but really challenging to run on. So you want to wear gaiters, and otherwise you're going to get sand in your shoes. And one thing I learned in the 100 miler is I should have changed my socks, because I really tore up my feet. I could have finished that. I could have finished the Habanero 100 miler this year, but I made it about 70K or seven laps and threw in the towel in the middle of, you know, it was about 12 midnight. My feet were just really torn up. And I just couldn't see myself going through the heat again the next day with really torn up feet. But that was my excuse. I don't think I had a strong enough why. You know, we always say, why are you doing a race? My why was not strong enough for that race. But if you want a really challenging race, but, you know, if you're coming from up north to run this race, you better really be heat acclimated because you're running in 100-degree weather. You know, in Texas, we are running most of the summer in the high 80s and 90s during training runs. It doesn't bother us too much. This race can get up to 110 at times because of the heat index. So you really need to know what you're doing. The key things for this race is hydration, of course. They have ice on the course. I use arm sleeves, and I stack my put ice in my arms. I mean, literally the ice is melted by the time you get to the next aid station. That's how hot it is. Another thing is chafing. You need to be lubing up constantly, at least every two laps, something like that. Because this race has a high DNF rate. I think it's over 50%, maybe 60%. I mean, the DNF rate is so high that usually on the t-shirts for the next year, they put the finishers on the back. So, you know, it gives you an idea. But chafing, hydration is a big thing. But if you can manage those two things, you can finish this race because the course is not that difficult. It's just sandy. I mean, I ran the Jalapeno 100, which is on the same course. They don't have that race anymore. It was a one-time thing. But it was in November, so it was cooler. It was much more tolerable. I think I finished in 28 hours, something like that, or 27 hours and something. But this is a very interesting race. And the nice is it's something to do in August. There's no races planned in August, but Rob puts on this in August, and it's a hell of an event. He has, you know, it's his flag, one of his flagship events. So there's a lot of people out there. Some people have come from out of state to run in it. So highly recommend it. I have many videos on Habanero. I even have one loop film that I did this year before Habanero. So if you want to learn about the Habanero race course, just check out my vlogs. I have one where I filmed a complete loop. I was able to do that because it's 10K. You know, that's the limitations on GoPro unless you start changing batteries and video cards, but you can usually do about an hour and 20 minutes. I have filmed one whole loop of Habanero, and it's in my vlog section. Check it out. A great race. Rob does a good job. And well, I should say his crew does a good job. You know, it's just not just Rob. But all right, that's enough about Habanero. What are we going to talk about next? Let's see. We might switch back to Tejas Trails. Tejas Trails has got one called Mellow and Trailway, which I don't know much too about. Those are new ones fairly. We're going to jump to October now. We're going to talk about Cactus Rose. This is one that I know quite a bit about for a couple of reasons, which I'll explain in a second. Let's share my screen. All right, Cactus Rose Trail Race. Let me pull down to show you more about the events. It doesn't have the distances on here, but I know the distances. This one takes place at Camp Eagle, and they usually have 100K and a 100 miler. Let me scroll back up to the main screen. Actually, let me go to the map. Yeah, this one he's done a little bit different. Nice thing about this race is it's at Camp Eagle, which I talked highly about before. He usually has like a 50K, 100K, and 100 miler out there. I think he had 150 miler, but I don't suggest doing that unless you're like some 200 miler rock star. You're not going to finish that. It's a very technical course, and the nice thing is it's in October, so it's a little bit cooler. And this one, you need to set up your own aid. He has water and ice out there. That's what makes this race challenging. So when I did it previous year, you know, I went to a couple key aid stations and put some Gatorade and stuff there. So you need to set up your own aid at some pre-set up aid stations. And there are, I think, one or two key aid stations where they'll have food and all. He'll have set up ice and water at all the locations, or most of the locations. But anyways, you have to put a little bit more into it. But nice race. He's done it many years. They do a really great job. So that is Cactus Rose. Let's what do we want to talk about next? Let's jump back to trail racing over Texas. So he has Night Moves, Missions, Trails. So we're going to stay on Taos Trails for a second, because there's one race I want to talk about. Hill Country Trivanium Road Race. So you're probably thinking, Richard, you're talking about trail racing. Why are you talking about railroad road racing? Well, this is one of the few road ultras that we have in Texas. And this is put on by Taos Trails. The nice thing is this is in Marble Falls, and which is very close to Austin. It's about 30 minutes away. Let me see if we got a map here and show you. He's got a really cool video on here too. He's got it's 50K, a marathon, and then some shorter distances. Okay, here it is. Make sure you can see that. Okay. Trivanium, because it's kind of a three-way out and back. So you take off, you actually start at like a high school sports stadium. And then you make your way to the right, you do an out and back, and then you come back. And when you get to that main aid station there in the middle, you're constantly always going to the right. So you're going to go out right and go way out and back. And then when you get back to the main aid station, you're going to make a left and go all the way out and back and then come back. So you're kind of doing each leg. You're doing the yellow leg once, but the right-hand leg you're doing twice. And then you finish. It's kind of cool. You finish in the high school stadium again. But this race has been around a while. And before it was called the Hill Country Marathon. That was before they had the 50K, and it was known, it's a Boston qualifier, is known as one of the most difficult marathons in Texas because of all the big hills. And it has some big hills. I mean, these are not rollers. These are big hills out there. So I did the 50K, and it was quite a day. I mean, I finished, but it was really quite a workout. One cool thing about this race is they have a very famous a pie place in Marble Falls. And when you finish the race, they give you a coupon, and they're giving out free slices of this famous pie that's made in Marble Falls. Kind of cool. So kind of a historic thing. Marble Falls is an old city that, you know, got a lot of shops. A lot of people go there to buy antiques and stuff like that. But really cool race. It's a road ultra, but you know, the Tejas Trails there, and same thing with Trail Racing Over Texas. They post all their results to Ultra Sign Up. You know, Trail Racing Over Texas, you register on Ultra Sign Up. On Tejas Trails, they use, forget the name, but they use another third party. But Chris and his partner, they're really good about posting all the results to Ultra Sign Up, even though the registration's not on Ultra Sign Up. So even this race, even though it's road ultra, he'll post the results on Ultra Sign Up. That's a big thing for me. I almost never will do a race that's not on Ultra Sign Up. I got burned a couple years ago by a local race director that promised, I joined a 3-race series and they promised me that they post and they don't. And you're probably thinking, why do you care about that so much? But I think it's kind of cool because all your data is, it's kind of like your running resume, you know? And, you know, I can see back many years when I first started ultras, you know, how I've improved and what races I've done, or if somebody wants to look at sponsoring me or, you know, checking me out for being an ambassador or something, you know, I highly recommend just to do the Ultra Sign Up races. That way they can easily see your running resume. But, this is posted on there too. kind of got off the subject. So that's in November. That's in Marble Falls near Austin. I'm gonna stop sharing. Now we're gonna jump to December. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to Trail Racing Over Texas, a race I just did. I'm gonna share. So you can see the logo there, Brazos Bend 100. Great race. Will I do it again? Probably not. And the reason, let me talk about the race first and then I'll tell you why. Brazos Bend is in Needville, Texas, like I talked about for the Brazos Bend 50 miler, a state park that really caters to the race. I mean, the park rangers were so nice. They even gave a seminar before the race and told us what to do if we encountered a alligator. You probably wonder, what should you do? I'll tell you. Basically, if you want to go around an alligator, you go around the tail. So depending on how the alligator is situated, that might be difficult. But you never want to approach an alligator or startle an alligator. I mean, they're interested in birds. They're not interested in humans. Even the sign, I saw children out there walking around. They don't even really bother children. They're really only danger is if you're walking a dog. You don't let them get close to the water. I thought that was kind of weird because, you know, most state parks that hold races, they're really adamant that you cannot take dogs to there. And the reason is because if it gets loose, you know, it gets involved with the wildlife, it's going to get eaten anyways. But at this state park, they allow dogs. So they just tell you to be careful with your dogs close to the water. There's some really big alligators out there. There was one on the bank that you might have seen my finishing video, which is in my vlogs. It was over 10 feet long, but it was kind of a bluish color because it was kind of in hibernation mode. So it wasn't going to bother anybody. Park ranger said that unless you go out and tap it on the back, it's not going to wake up. It's just soaking in the sun. These alligators, they lower their heartbeat to like 5 beats a minute. It's really amazing. I didn't know much about alligators. I thought I knew about them. But once I went out there and raced out there, I was around them running through the night and stuff. I really learned more about them. One thing's for sure is they're a lot bigger than they look on TV. I mean, it's kind of like running through Jurassic Park, and if you ask me. I mean, there were a couple times where I was running down the trail at night and I startled one alligator and I thought he was going to attack me. But he didn't. He just moved around in the water. But after that, I was real careful about not shining my light on one of the alligator's eyes, because you can see their eyes at night because they're like orange. Some are red. You know, it's pitch black out there, so it's easy to see their eyes. But one time I was running down the trail and I kind of just glanced to the side. You know, these trails out at Brazos Bend, they're not as wide as a Jeep road, but they're bigger than a trail and they're like crushed gravel, most of them. So really nice trails. I mean, there's like less than 100 feet of elevation in the whole course. It's like two hills. But anyways, it's kind of like a golf cart path, but it's not wide enough. One of the challenging things was, well, let me back up. Anyways, I'm running down this thing and I'm shining my light on the edge of the grass and there's like this huge tail sticking out. I mean, it's like Jurassic Park. I mean, the thickness of this tail, I knew the alligator was huge, but it was like 1 a.m. It's kind of eerie. But one challenging thing out there is 3 mini loops. The first loop is kind of a swamp section. So you have the swamp on both sides. It's kind of hard if you're a guy, you know, it can be even worse for a lady, but, if you know, usually in trail races, you got to go pee, just, you know, kind of go off to the side and pee. But you couldn't do that because each side of the trail in the mini loop was the bank to the swamp. I mean, there could be alligators there. And you couldn't really stand in the trail and pee because there was always someone coming up or in front of you or whatever. So it was pretty challenging at times. But that was something unique about this race. You know, most trail races, you just kind of pull off to the side. Even if you're a lady, you can do what you need. But highly recommend this race. It's a flagship race for Rob and Trail Racing Over Texas. They do a great job. Really cool medals. I mean, buckles. Also medals. I mean, they have shorter distances. You can go out there and do 50 miles or even 25K. And it's a doable one to finish a 100 miler. But like I said before, 100 miles is 100 miles. I don't care if there's no elevation or not. It's really challenging. So. But this is one of the, I guess if you want to say easier races, maybe it is. But I think 100 miles are really difficult because you're going to have to really dig deep. And, you know, it's a mental challenge that lasts 20, 30 miles. I highly recommend it. So we got Brazos Bend. That's in Needville, Texas, Brazos Bend State Park. It's about an hour from Houston. So what we're going to do now, we're going to switch back over to Taos Trails and talk about their December races. They actually have two races. So we're going to talk about Tenayas. Kind of testing my Spanish. Let me share. Okay. Tenayas Ultra and Relay Race. This is another one where, you know, they have aid stations, but I think you need to take some stuff for, you know, set some stuff out for yourself. But this is at Colorado Bend State Park. This is in Bend, Texas. Okay. Tenaya is a rock formation. Okay. If you've ever been, if you're from Texas, you know, where, you know, Colorado Bend State Park, they have this big rock dome and that's at this park. So that's what they call in Spanish, Tenaya. It's a rock formation. This race has no aid station support other than ice, water, and shelter. So it's a lot like Cactus Rose. They set up aid station facilities, but you have to bring your own stuff. 100K, 50K. I've raced out there. I've done a 60K, but I've never done Tenayas. I was going to do it this year, but I was planning on doing Brazos Bend. Nice race to do in December. Nice and cool. Very convenient to Austin. Taos Trails does a great job. So Colorado Bend State Park. And that's in Bend, Texas. So not far from Austin at all. But like I said, you have to set up your own aid. So if you're not willing to do that, I think it's convenient for locals to do that. But I think if you're coming from out of state to bring your own aid, I think, you know, you have to rent a car and do all that stuff. It's kind of challenging. So I'm going to stop sharing for a second. And the next one we're going to talk about is another Taos Trail race that I've done. And it's a really cool one called Mosaic Trail Race. So let me share. So Mosaic Trail Race. Okay, you can see that here. Let me scroll down some. There we go. Let me make sure you can see that. Yeah. So Mosaic Trail Race takes place in Liberty Hill, Texas, which is really 20 minutes from where I live because I live in Georgetown. It takes place on it's a place called Indian Mound Ranch, which is kind of like a Cub Scout ranch, but it's not a real big one. But he has set up 10K loops out there. So kind of flat, you're kind of weaving in and out. Oak trees, and sometimes you go along the San Gabriel Creek. I don't know if he has, so it has 50K marathon. I did this 2 years ago. So here it is. So there's a railway that goes through the center of the course. So sometimes you can hear the trains, but it goes along the San Gabriel Creek and it's a very pretty creek and there's a pretty big drop off. I got a little scared one year. I was running along it and I kind of tripped on a rock and I was kind of daydreaming. I paid attention, but I could have tripped and slid off that ledge. I mean, I wouldn't have got hurt that bad, but it kind of startled me. But not the most scenic rates that he puts on, but very convenient. 5-10K loops. They just have one main aid station. Very close to Austin. Highly recommend this if you live in the Austin area and you're looking for a 50K to do. They do a really good job on this one. Very liberal cutoffs. So, I mean, if you're an average runner or even back of the pack, this is a very doable race and it's a very reasonable price. So it's an Indian Mound Ranch in Liberty Hill, Texas. So we've gone through most of the races that take place with Tejas Trails, and also, so I'm going to stop sharing. Okay, I'm back on the screen. So not much activity in the chat today. I think most people are sleeping, but thanks for joining me if you were watching, and hope you learned something about the trail races in Texas. There's some really good ones to check out. So even if you're coming from out of state, you know, we have some big marquee races, like I mentioned, like Bandera 100K, which is done in January. Rocky Raccoon in February. Those are both golden ticket races. And then those are Tejas Trails. And then Trail Racing Over Texas has Brazos Bend 100 Miler in December, Habanero in August, and he has a bunch of other races, which are pretty cool. And then during the summer, you know, most of the U.S. is hot during the summer. If you can't find a trail race, you can come down and do Captain Carl's, which is put on by Tejas Trails. I'm not an ambassador for either one of the race directors. I just know the races very well. I think they're pretty cool. I'm planning oh, I forgot to tell you why I plan not to do the Brazos Bend 100 Miler again. It's because I've done it, finished it. I, you know, like I mentioned in some of my videos, I really want to do more mountain races. So in 2022, I'm doing some more, I guess, like master's level races, more difficult, more elevation. So I did my first one, which was Arkansas Travelers. I did that in November of this year. I made it close to 60 miles. I just was first time I ever got close to cutoff time. So I need to increase my hill climbing ability. And what I mean by that is no fast hiking on hills. I need to jog. Those races, if you jog all the uphills, you won't finish. I mean, if you speed hike the uphills, you won't finish because there's so many hills. But anyways, those are very scenic, very beautiful. I mean, some of the climbs were 3-4 miles. You get up the top, you can see so far. We just don't have that in Texas unless you go out to like Big Bend near El Paso, but I've never raced out there. But I'm planning to do Run Lovett, which is the end of February, another very scenic race, a lot of elevation, similar to Hard Rock. That's in February, and I'm going to do Arkansas Travelers probably in November. And if I don't do that, I'm going to go out to Tennessee, do No Business 100, or maybe a race in Georgia. Or another one I want to do that has some elevation and very scenic is I want to do Penhody in northern Alabama. If you've ever done those races, let me know, because I'd like to have you on the live stream. You know, if you follow me and you're a runner and you like to talk about running, let me know. Send me an email at runnerrwe@gmail.com. That's runnerrwe@gmail.com. I have you on a live stream sometime. You know, my show is a little bit different than others. I mean, the other shows always have pros on and stuff like that. I mean, we all know all the pros in trail running like they're our brother. I mean, they're on every podcast and every YouTuber has them on there. I like to do mine a little bit different. I like to have the middle and back of the pack runners on. You know, we all have a story and we all can learn from each other and have fun. So that's what my channel is for. So I'd like to hear from you. Send me an email or, you know, let me know in the chats and we can get hooked up and join a live stream. I do one most several evenings during the week, and then I'll be planning on doing some and also during the weekends. So what else I want to talk about? I think that's it. Anyways, I wish everyone a happy holidays, and I know enjoy your run, do your biking. It's been raining a little bit this morning in Austin. It was supposed to clear up. So I'm either going to go play with my son, play baseball, or I'm going to go for a bike and a run today. He has his karate graduation later today, which is going to be exciting. He's going to go to get his orange belt. So we're excited about that. That's tonight. And then tomorrow I might do a long bike. I might go off 50 miles. Not sure. Let's see. I might even do a live stream tomorrow if I got something I want to talk about or something you want to talk about. Send me an email or send me a message. I don't use Facebook or Instagram anymore. The reason I don't, and that's the reason I gave up my ambassadorships. I used to be sponsored by Squirrel's Nut Butter, Ultra Aspire, and Exoscan. I gave all those up because I really wasn't doing much for them. I wasn't posting like they like to do. I really narrowed it down to only LinkedIn for business network, and also I use YouTube and Strava. Because my thing is that if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right, you know, spend a lot of time doing it. So I really spend time because I work and I got my kids and everything. So if I'm going to spend time on something, I spend it on the LinkedIn, the business network, and Strava. Strava is a good networking tool too for, you know, meet other runners and stuff. I post my videos and pictures on there. So hook up with me on Strava. The link is on my banner on my YouTube channel. Also my podcast, you can listen to my live streams, another podcast. I've been doing podcasting longer than YouTubing. YouTubing I started this year. So I have 54 podcasts, and not all of them are uploaded to my YouTube channel. I stopped doing that because I found that every time I set up a podcast up, an audio podcast on my YouTube channel, some people would unsubscribe. So I think that they couldn't understand what I was doing. I was just trying to make it more convenient to listen to some of my podcasts, but I stopped doing that. So I have some of them on my YouTube channel, but have over 54 podcasts on my podcast channel. You can, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, all the main stuff. But you can listen to me that way. So follow me on Strava. But these are my main tools. So I don't really invest any time in Facebook or Twitter or Instagram anymore. Anyways, have a good day. Have a good run. Bye for now.